Lord, we do thank you for your goodness this morning. We thank you for your grace. We pray, God, that you'd bless those that have come out for Sunday school. We pray, oh God, you'd get glory and honor to your name. Help me to teach, God, and help these to hear and, God, to listen, respond to your word and follow your word. And we'll thank you, God, for everything you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, let me find one other place here before I start reading. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for the want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. A lot of great verses right there. It's really a great passage of scripture that covers a lot of material. So we'll go back and get on it. I don't think we'll be able to cover all that material before the end of the class today, but we'll shake a stick at it anyway. Verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, I think you understand what that verse is saying, the well-advised, people that gets a lot of advice, good advice, not just any advice, but good advice and a lot of it. And so you say, what does that mean? That means about half of Christianity is crazy. I believe God wants me to do this and just go do it. Do whatever you want to do, whatever you think is necessary. Well, if you think something's necessary, that may be true and it may not be true. Look around and you say, well, I've been praying, and that's usually the excuse that I get. Brother Mike, I've been praying, and I feel like God wants me to ... And I can't tell you how many times, and I think one example of that is probably the best example, and I don't believe it just applies to the one person that I've got in mind, but this fella come to me and said, Brother Mike, I've been praying, and I do believe God wants me to be a missionary. And I said, no, he doesn't. He said, how in the world could you tell that to somebody else? Because the fella didn't have enough sense to be a daddy. He didn't have enough sense to be a church member. He didn't have enough sense to go out in the highways and hedges right where he lived. And God called him to go somewhere else. I don't think so. I don't believe so. I don't believe that at all. But at any rate, I said, no, I don't believe so, and gave him the reasons why. And the very next week, I'm talking about Sunday to Sunday, the very next week, Brother Mike, the Lord's calling me into evangelism. I've been praying about it. No, he hasn't. No, he has not. That's just not possible. It is not possible. The problem is that folks say, well, I think there's a need here. Or I think there's a need there. There's needs everywhere. Yeah. Oh, the poor people in Africa need somebody to preach to them. So does the poor people here in Folkestone. Yeah. You say, well, the people in Folkestone won't listen. How do you think the Africans got in the condition they're in? They won't listen either.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, missionaries go to all these third world countries and get hundreds and hundreds of people come to hear them preach and stuff. That's because they're giving out money. Go without money and preach the gospel. You say, what happened? The same thing that happened to the apostles when they went to Africa. The same thing that happened to the apostles when they went into Asia Minor. The same thing that happened to the apostles when they went into Arabia. They killed them. Well, I think there's a need. What you ought to do is instead of just saying, I think there's a need or I see a need, get with about 10 other people who pray and say, what do you think the need is? You say, what is that? That's being well advised. And you say, well, I think I have the skills to do this or that. Get with 10 other people who are spiritually minded and see if they think you have the skills to do it. You say, what is it? That's well advised. That's well advised. And the verse is really, he says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. The smart answer will be there. And it doesn't say anything about negative or positive. It says there's wisdom there. Wisdom is not all on one side. We think that wisdom is all negative. We think that way because we're usually fools and wisdom is against us. But wisdom is not against us. Wisdom is not on either side, positive or negative. This fellow that come to me the first time and said, hey, I feel like God wants me to be a missionary, I said, no, you're not ready. That doesn't have to be a negative. He could have went and got ready. He could have got himself ready. He could have got himself in a place where he could do that. But you need the right ammo to go. You need the right message to go. You need the right purpose to go. You need all these things. You need the right discipline to go. The ministry is a place where you've got to be very disciplined. Amen. It's going to be, it's very hard, very difficult. Amen? And so, I'm not talking about difficult to do physically. Anybody can do this. Anybody can preach. Anybody can pastor. Anybody can get up and preach a couple times a week. But the mental difficulty is beyond belief. The strain, the stress of the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then Paul said, he said, beside this, the cares of all the churches, and I understand what he means a little bit. I hope I never learn it to the extent that he knew it, but the cares of all the churches is much more difficult than working a 70-hour week, you know, overtime. I don't know what the hardest job in the world is, busting rocks and making, I don't know, maybe that criminal busting rocks and making gravel roads is a pretty difficult work, but I'll tell you what, when you know every day is going to be the same and you're going to, there's no worry about that job going away. I'm locked up for 10 years. So I'm locked up for 30 years. So here, you know, I've got to do this. There's some peace and security in that. Amen. But the cares of the churches, it's going to take some discipline. When the joy of I want to do it wears off, there's responsibilities. Amen. There's duties, and we shouldn't really, I don't believe we ought to be serving by duty. I think we ought to, the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. They're all sinners, and that ought to be the primary factor in it. And many a man have started that way, but they've realized that you love and people don't love back. Or you realize that you try to have a gospel mission. Brother Mark preached on love on Friday night, and a lot of people don't know what love is. You know, I was sitting here Friday night listening to the message, and Brother Mark was talking about preachers loving people, and I heard some amens from people that I know thought that love meant spend 24 hours a week at your house and you know, cry over the fact that you know your feelings are hurt. That's not love. Love in the ministry is telling people the truth. Amen? For God so loved the world, right? Christ came into the world to save sinners, whom I'm chief, right? Well, Jesus come and told people the truth. Amen? And he said, you hate me because I tell you the truth. See, people think that preachers hate them. Listen, a preacher stand around and tell you the truth after you say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to go. Listen, you go tell your brother you love him and you praying for him. You want him to be saved. And you and him ain't had 10 decent words and 10 years together because he can't stand the fact that you're always telling the truth. You love him And I'm not sure the other thing is true. I'm not sure the lost man even knows what real love is. Well, he's my brother. He's supposed to put up with me no matter what. That ain't love. Your mama didn't put up with you no matter what. You said, well, she loved me no matter what. She kept giving you whoopings too if she did. Amen. If she didn't, that ain't love. Well, we just read it right there in verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Amen? Well, you ought to be easy on the congregation. He that spareth the rod hateth his congregation. Amen. Amen. That's just the long and the short of that. Well, you go back up there to verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. And we could go a lot further into that, I think. But what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is a lot of people think, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. And you know it's true. I try to keep things on the ministry side and on the spiritual side, but this stuff goes over into your real life too. Brother Nathan works out there at the prison. I know that place has a high turnover of people because people go out there and say, I'd really like to have a job in law enforcement. And I really think a good gateway into law enforcement would be to be a prison guard. And the allure of that probably lasts about 3 days, and they think, hey, this is a real tedious situation. And you know, Brother Curtis back there used to work at the steel mill. I bet many folks got their eyes on that job and said, well, I bet this pays a little bit of money, and boy, you know, look at all this wonderful thing. And come in, some fella carry him around the plant and train him about 2 or 3 days, and then they don't show up after they get in there and find out it's 9,000 degrees and say, man, I don't want to do this work. Put a man on the tree crew and work him. Put a man in the grass and let him cut grass for 2 or 3 days. If they last 2 or 3 days, they'll last 2 or 3 days working with Spike, and they'll last 1 day working with Tommy. You say, why? Because, oh, I got me a job. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. There's a real need. I got to put some money in my pocketbook. But they'd rather be broke than do some of the things these fellows are doing for a living. Amen? Well, go to your mama. What do you think would be a good job for me? Well, you're kind of a lacy-drawered little fella. I believe you better go get you a typist job somewhere. Well, that'd save you from going making a fool out of yourself in front of Brother Tommy or Brother Curtis, wanting to work with them. Amen? That's the truth. With the well advised. Go ask your daddy, what do you think I'm cut out for? Well, amen, that's true. My daddy took a good look at me one day and said, boy, I believe I'm going to have to teach you to fight. I was pretty scared of that. I wasn't much bigger than a piece of paper. I'm telling you, not much wider either. And got my head beat in as a little boy. Well, he didn't just leave me to that. He helped me. He well advised me on how to do that. And bought a couple pair of boxing gloves and got my big fat cousin out there, and he beat my brains out a little bit, about 3 times bigger than me. And what Brother Mark said over the week about folks needing a bully, I don't like bullies, and I wouldn't bully nobody myself, but I learned a lot of good lessons from bullies. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We had a good talk about that on Saturday when I picked him up. I'm glad he brought that up. Amen. He says here, let me move on here before I spend all day on verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. I believe I'll leave that alone and go back to the first part of the verse. Only by pride cometh contention. I'll have you look over right fast in the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Only by pride cometh contention. That contention means an argument between two fellas. I thought it was raining. That's never mind. Jude, verse number three. Beloved, let me see where I'm at here. He says, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See that word contend? That's the same word back there, contention. When you got two people arguing, one is contending from one point And another is contending for the other point. The contention part of it, whether or not it's worth arguing about, amen, is a source of pride. You say, well, all pride is bad. Well, not necessarily. He just told you to contend for the faith. Only. Now, that's a big word back in Proverbs. Only. Now, I could say only the girls stand up. See, that means something. And as soon as I say only the girls, every man goes. They want to make sure they don't want to stand up, amen? They make sure they don't want to stand up. Only the girls who are wearing blue stand up. Fellas say, well, I'm wearing blue. Whoa, oh, not a girl. See, only. Only the men who ... whatever. Well, people pay attention to that stuff. Boys don't want to be girls. Girls don't want to be boys. He said some men want to be girls. Them ain't men.
Amen.
I don't know what them are. But when you say only, well, that means something. And he says only by pride cometh contention. And Brother Mike, I just don't see the need to get on Facebook and talk about religion. No pride. I don't see the need to tell my neighbor he's going to hell. No pride. Mm-hmm. You'd get in a fight with him over Democrats versus Republicans. You'd get in a fight with him over Bulldogs versus Florida.
Amen.
You'd argue about that for hours and hours. You'd argue with him about, you know, Ford or Chevrolet or Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather. People argue about that all the time and are serious and don't speak to one another because of those arguments. Amen. Only by pride cometh contention. And the Bible said in the book of Jude, he said, my directive for you is that you earnestly contend for the faith. You're going to have some pride in it. There's a lot of false humility in the Christian church. Well, we should never fuss and we should never argue, and that's wrong. That's wrong. And you should never get bitter. Amen. I've had many a doctrinal dispute. I've had many a positional dispute, a dispute on principles. But you don't have to get bitter. What Brother Pedro told you on Friday night, which was as good a message as any as I heard, you can't hold up that bitterness about things, and you got to pray for people to keep that bitterness out. I've had disputes with preachers and different things like that, people that leave the church and say things that aren't true or are near true, but just slanted in their favor, when all the thing was is something got preached doctrinally or positionally or morally that they didn't like, and so they decided to go. Never said a cross word to nobody in this county about anything we've had a dispute about or a disagreement about. You want to go be bitter about it, that's your business. I'm going to pray for you and ask God to help you. Amen. We had people leave the church before, and then just a couple of weeks ago, somebody said something to one of my kids about it, about not understanding the things that are preached and taught in this church, so they had to leave and go somewhere else. Poor thing. I don't see how you could not understand this. If you're talking about me, I don't know how you could not understand. I don't preach on quantum mechanics and stuff like that. Talk like a backwoods mountain boy if you can't understand the things. I'm not talking about nothing deep and junk like that, but I'm not talking about psychology and all that, you know, stuff. I don't understand the stuff that's on the radio. I don't understand that at all. I saw a commercial yesterday and I thought, man, that has to be a product of Christianity. I mean, modern, mixed up Christianity. It was a commercial for a drug, is what it was. And I don't remember the name of it. I wish I would, because I immediately thought, man, that would be a good sermon illustration. I got to thinking about it so much I forgot to remember they've got all these drug commercials now because they're trying to dope Americans into oblivion. But it was about anxiety. The pill was for anxiety. And I understand some people got a problem with, you know, being anxious. I understand some of it. Not to the extent that, you know, if you're nervous, you need a pill. I don't agree with that at all. But here's the thing. The fella says this, the fella that's, you know, promoting the thing, the drug, he says, tell your doctor if you have any feelings of uneasiness. Well, who doesn't that include? Tell your doctor if you have any feelings of it. Well, put the whole planet on. We all have uneasiness. Well, there's lots of things I would recommend before telling your doctor. Like telling your maker, get right with God. Start right there. Get right with your wife. Get right with your husband. Get right with your neighbor. Amen. The Bible says bitterness defiles many people. Well, you pray about things, and that's where we're at in church. If you feel uneasy about anything, it's God leading you to go somewhere else. If you feel uneasy about anything, it's God leading me to stay home today. No, man, get right with God first, and then get right with, you know, you might be uneasy about coming to church because you made a stupid comment to somebody you shouldn't have made. Amen. I don't know what it is, but it's the age of pills. Just dope yourself until you find out, you know, what works, and none of it works. Amen. But you get rid of the uneasiness, but then you have it's depression pills. Give you the, I mean, they're supposed to, I guess if you're depressed, what you want to be is happy, excited, rosy, sunshiny. That's what we're looking for, right? You take depression pills, they'll cause you to commit suicide. They'll give you suicidal thoughts. So this world, I'm telling you, it's, you know, sorcery in the Bible is pills, drugs, the pharmacy. That's where you get your drugs. That's sorcery. And I'm not talking about taking aspirin for headaches, or even if the doctor's got you on the medicine. I realize some things are necessary. Paul said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. There are medicines that are available, and I'm not so sure if the Bible says take wine, I'm not so sure you shouldn't take a little wine. I don't mean like a fifth every day. I'm talking about a little wine for your stomach's sake or often infirmities, and there again, that's not always fermented, corrupted wine. Juice is good for you. The original technical definition of the word wine, it has nothing to do with alcohol at all. It's the fruit of any juice. The fruit of any juice. In a very technical sense, vinegar is wine. So let me ask you this. Is vinegar a good medicine for anything? Sure it is. So this modern emphasis on, you know, you got to get hooked on hydrocodone because you know you got an earache for 2 days. It's turned out to be a mess, and they've got it so bad now that now they won't even hardly prescribe you anything for it because half the country's hooked on it already. Amen. Well, they should have been into looking into fixing things instead of covering up symptoms to begin with. Because that's what pills do. There's nothing in this on this planet. There are no symptoms. Excuse me. There are no maladies on this planet that is fixed by any pill. They cover symptoms. That's what pills do. They cover symptoms. The body is broken. The body's cursed. The world is broken. The world is cursed. The body's going to break down. There's nothing you can do about that. Nothing you can do about that except what the Bible tells you to do about it. Take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Is any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church. Let them be anointed with oil. There's where your hope is right there. Now listen, if you're on pain, if you're in pain every day, all day, the doctor prescribes you something for that. That's what you want to cover the symptoms. I understand those things. I understand those things altogether. But what I'm telling you is that when it comes to the affairs of the heart, that's the kind of thing that first of all you ought to seek. You ought to be well advised, like the verse we just covered talks about, and you ought to ask God to help you with it. And then you ought to start contending for the things in this world that need to be contended for, and let the things that you can't fix go by. Amen. Well, my husband has never really understood me. Okay, you mean like before you got married too? Amen. He ain't changed none. She ain't changed none. You're the same people that you were. Something along the way got crossed up in your mind or in your heart. Amen. It might have been you. Well, you got to find a spiritual solution for these things. There's no pill that's going to fix your marriage, I promise you that. Amen. You might wish you was high all the time instead of putting up with that jerk, but some people choose to go that way. They really do. Maybe try some fasting and prayer. You say, why? Because it's well advised. The whole Bible, all the men of the Bible recommended these things, recommended these solutions. Amen. Amen. So what we're talking about is something that's down deep in your heart. He's talking about with the well advised, there's favor. And he says that only by pride cometh contention. You ought to contend for the right things and have. Now, if you're talking, I'm not talking about selfish pride. I'm talking about pride just means having pleasure in a thing. And that contention comes from having enough pleasure in that thing to pleasure, regard. See, a lot of people have a lot of regard for themselves. A haughty spirit. And what happens, according to the Bible, with the haughty spirit? There's a fall coming. Well, if you've got high regard for the Word of God, if you've got high regard for the Word of God and somebody comes in and teaches some foolishness, you go, that ain't right right there. You say, why? Only by pride cometh contention. Well, I just think we ought to let everybody believe the way they want to. And if you really loved somebody, you would just keep your mouth shut and pray. Mm-hmm. No, I tell you what, if I catch one of my kids on pot, I ain't keeping my mouth shut. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, you know, all these political differences, I think we all just ought to get along. No, I don't think we ought to get along at all. You say, well, I've got high regard for the principles of our country. In which it was started. Amen? Amen? Amen. I think they ought to let some Mexicans in and kick the Democrats out. Amen. 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 You say, why? Because they're not American. Yeah. They're not American. Well, back in the day, our country, the people who started this country had slaves, and they're better than you are. Yeah. They're better than you are. Amen. Amen. Having all this trouble with New York, you know New York's the one state that didn't vote for independence. California didn't vote for independence either. That's your two places where your problems is coming. Principally, your problems is coming out of there. We'll get rid of them. You say, it's not worth the trouble. It is worth the trouble. You wait till they get 50 more in Congress like this Cortez lady. Yeah. Right. She's treasonous. She ought to be hung. Amen. Amen. Whether she's Democrat or Republican, I don't care. People who have her ideas, that's what they fought the revolution over. That's what they fought the Civil War over, was people like that. Right. Wasn't about slavery at all. It was about people like that. You got people on the news this week. They say, we're gonna pass laws to make every person that has an employee give them 2 weeks paid vacation every year. Those people ought to be tarred and feathered, run out of town. Amen. Deported. You say, why? Because it's none of your business what a man does. If a man doesn't give anybody any vacation, that's none of your business. Right. None of your business. You said, is that worth arguing about? Yes, it is. It is. You say, why? Because you've got high regard. Do you have high regard for personal liberty? You know how the argument gets mixed up? People say, well, we want to make sure this person and this person and this person's taken care of. You should mind your own business. You're not worried about personal liberty. You're worried about somebody else's liberty. And one of the most dangerous people on earth is somebody that worries about somebody else's liberty.
Amen.
They said, well, Samuel Adams and John Adams and Paul Revere, all they was worried about was greed and theirself. Yes, and they stood up and done something about it. You know what they secured to themselves? Their own personal liberty.
Amen.
And guess who benefited by it? You.
Yes.
And so now you got college professors standing up in Southeast Georgia and saying, they're just a bunch of greedy people who, and you're just a meddling a busybody in everybody else's business. All these greedy, capitalists, mind your own business. That's what the revolution was fought over. That's what the Civil War was fought over. People not minding their own business. None of Massachusetts' business what Virginia does. Amen? New state want to come into the Union. Well, you got to have this and you got to have that. You should have mind your own business. Not one person died over slavery in the Civil War. It was a fight about who gets to control you and what your thinking is. And you said, what's the problem? They had enough pride about it. One side wanted to control you enough, and one side wanted to not be controlled enough that they both got in a fight over it. And that's what the Civil War was about. Only by pride cometh contention. And you ought to have a little bit, the right kind.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Get out there and do hard work and try to put $13 on the table every day and $200 in your vehicle every month and provide for all of those little things. Somebody comes along and says, we need 75% of that so we can give all workers 2 weeks paid vacation. You ought to say, no, sir, we're fighting about that.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen. That's the way I see it anyway. Well, you say, what'd you go through all that for? Illustrates the verse perfectly. Only by pride cometh contention. True or not?
It is.
Only by pride cometh contention, but I still got plenty of time. I thought I was out of time. Still got plenty of time. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Oh, joy, we get to talk about our blessed country a little bit more. Country I love, by the way, but the society's getting messed up. The culture's getting messed up. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. I want to be very careful here because I know that we've got some participants. And I don't mean anything personal. I'm just going to use this as an example. Wealth gotten by vanity. Well, here, if you put this on, you'll look real nice. We got any red flags going off yet, LuLaRoe? The Bible says that wealth gotten by vanity will be diminished. Didn't say it was right, didn't say it was wrong. We're not talking about right or wrong. We're talking about wealth gotten by vanity will be diminished. So the more that a country's produce, the more that a country's emphasis becomes on things of vanity, the poorer that population will become.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
The more, when you shut down factories and you open nail salons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? When the emphasis of people becomes to stop producing and to start looking better, when you shut down steel mills and you open up gyms on every corner, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. You're not going to build a society on catering to people's vanity. I was looking for a good way to say that, and the best way to say it's just to say it plain like it is. The worst way to build an economy is to build it on people's vanity. So I think I'll open a gym. It'll do good for a little while because everybody's in the gym phase. But when all you've got produced is, a city full of people that's in good shape, where's the real produce in that? So some things ought to be priority, and so there ought to be some things under that priority that are less than the priority. In other words, industry. It's a bad word in America these days. Because if you're in industry, you're selfish, greedy, whatever. I can't say the words they say. Democrats talk like sailors. Well, no offense to the sailors. But you've got to have industry, and then as you work hard and you produce something and you're bringing home a profit that's able to sustain your life through industry, then you can send your wife to the get her hair done rather than doing it yourself. I know all you men know how to do your wife's hair perfectly. But you can afford to do things that otherwise you couldn't sustain when just, you know, everybody can't be a hairstylist. You got 55,000 hair salons between here and Kingsland. That may be an over, you know, that may be an overzealous figure, but I think you understand what I'm saying. That's where people are going. People are staying away from the difficult stuff, and they're going towards stuff that everybody hair wants to look good. Even me. I dreamed I had a little bit of hair last night. It was so wonderful. I had the old Marine Corps flat top, and I was like, yes, it's growing back in. I literally thought that in my dream. But it's not growing back in. I woke up just as bald as I've always been. It's not coming back. I'd like to have it back. If you make a commercial good enough to fool me, I might invest in what you're doing. Because we're vain. We're vain. And listen, again, let me say, I'm not talking about you can't fit your hair, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it's a biblical statement that wealth based on vanity will be diminished. It's not going to stand. You can't build your house on it. You can't build a city on it. You can't build a nation on it. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. And I think you see as well as I. And I'll tell you this: the movie industry depends highly on vanity. Yes, sir. You got fellas that have laid around and got out of shape, and they can't lift the clothes basket anymore, and they're watching all these guys jump off of high-rise buildings and shoot a bandit on every floor as they go down and doing all this super, you know, stuff. You can't do that. Listen, they spent the last 20 years making about men doing the impossible. Bruce Willis and Rambo and, you know, all these big heroes and, you know, The Rock. Now they've switched from that, and they've started making all these heroes women. All the, you know, kill 100 bandits and shoot them all up and beat them up with their fists. That's vanity. And you ladies ought not fool around with that vanity either. Watch 10 television programs where this superhero woman beats up all the bad guys. You go out there and get in a fight with a man, they'll beat you to death. Amen. You ladies ought to be in your backyard with your husband learning how to shoot a pistol. Amen. 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 Shoot straight. Amen. 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 You say, why? Because that's vanity. It's vanity. They made a big deal. Well, they got this woman out there, you know, and she's the first woman ever to officiate an NFL playoff game. Let her be the linebacker. Oh, you're so mean. I'm not being mean. They're making a big deal out of something. Anybody could be the official. What's the big deal? Well, they always let men do it before. That's because men liked football and women didn't care nothing about it. That's why it was all men. They didn't used to let women participate. Did you ask? No, you didn't ask. The men were outside playing football and you was inside with the girls chatting it up and gossiping. Nobody kept you out. It used to be men liked football and girls liked dolls and haircuts and dresses and stuff like that. We didn't get in your business. You got in theirs. Amen. One of the big reasons I got away from NFL football is I got tired of seeing the women on there. And what do you think about it, Jill? And I'm thinking, who cares what Jill thinks? Then they put the women in the locker room with the men doing the interviews while they're standing there naked. I'll tell you what, you take the Mississippi girls volleyball team and let a man go in hers, in her locker room. You think that's going to go over? Oh, a sexual predator. He forced his way in. You forced your way in the men's NFL locker room. Amen. You ruined football for us.
Yes.
Amen. Stay out of it. I don't know how it got on that, but oh yeah, we're talking about the vanity. So women can do anything that, yeah, but you ought not to.
Right.
Amen. Amen. No woman should play linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. Amen. But when, if I do turn on something to see about the sports news, I don't want to hear it from a woman. You're not my buddy. I can't see you as my buddy. Does that make sense to anybody else? I could see Tommy as my buddy. We could go to church together, or we could go out. Neither one of us plays golf, but we could go out and play golf. We could go hunting together. If I was brave enough to get in the car with those fellas the way they hunt, we could do all those things. But I can't see me and Alyssa hanging out at the golf club. Does that make sense? Me and Heidi are not going hunting together. Does that make sense to anybody? Well, I want Jill to be off the football broadcast. Well, I just think women can do anything. But you shouldn't. Amen? And at the woman's knitting contest, I don't want to see Jack over there.
Amen?
Does that... What is a woman... Let me ask you a question. What is a woman's sport? Somebody give me a woman's sport.
Volleyball.
Okay, I don't want Bob on the volleyball court. Amen? They got to... Listen, you women, you ought to be mad as the devil. They gave a man the woman of the year, 2018. What kind of equal junk is that? I don't want to see an old, shriveled up, plastic surgery, washed out tennis pro who just wants attention. That's not a woman. You say, what's the deal? Pride, somebody wanting to be something. I think I could do that. Just no, you can't. So you turn on the 12 o'clock news and you're hearing about the football game and there's this man sitting there. Yeah, and the Cowboys, they drove 50 yards. And for the Eagles side of the equation, we'll turn you over to Jill. And all I hear is, cut it off. That's all I hear. I just turned it off because I never was interested in talking to a woman about football. Was you? I'll bet you this. I know we got some college football fans around here. I bet Brother Curtis never went into the house and said to his wife, boy, did you see what the Bulldogs did? That's just not there's something that's just not correct about that. Amen. I walked into the place before and told Brother Nathan, I said, oh yeah, Manny Pacquiao, he knocked out that guy. I've never come in, walked up to none of you ladies and said, hey, did you see what Pacquiao did to... Does that make sense to anybody else but me? But they got to put these people on, let all these gender twisters between men and women. It's pride.
Yeah.
Amen? The Bible says that, see, God don't judge homosexuality. God judges with homosexuality. Pride. Amen? And it's idleness, fullness of bread. Yeah. All that stuff come together, man. The Lord said, these people just don't know what they are. Let's really show them what's... Lord, mess up your mind over stuff like that. Man, I'm not sure how we got all that. Well, we were talking about pride and vanity and stuff like that. Wealth gotten by vanity. Vanity, listen, if you want the I don't want to leave you with an unclear definition of what vanity is, but I can give you a summary of vanity for you to go home and pray about for the next week. It's me, me. Me, 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 me. I need to look better. I need to. And it's just me all the time. And the Bible said that'll kill your wealth. That'll kill the wealth of a nation. It'll kill the wealth of a state. It'll kill a state is a nation, but it'll kill the wealth of a city. It'll kill the wealth of your household if everything's just done by vanity. Get a little man in the house, it's just me, 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 me. That's where all the money will go. A little wife in a home that all she thinks about is me, me, me. I've got to be comfortable. I've got to do this. I've got to have this. I just can't live without this. I've had all... Man or woman, makes no difference. That'll break a household just like that. Break a city. Just like when the people is all about, hey, I've got to have this. I've got to have it. That's vanity. It'll diminish your wealth. When the country is all the people, I've got to have... I've got the right to have. You don't have the right to have nothing you don't work for. Rights do not extend to consequences. Amen. Rights extend to actions, but the consequences, listen, if you work for it and you got the money for it and it's not going to diminish or damage your home, you got the right to have it. Amen. If your kids can't eat because you're buying it, you don't have the right to have it. Amen. If you didn't work for it, you don't have the money for it, you don't have the right to it. Amen. Amen. You live rough and ruin your life, you don't have a right to health care. Amen. You don't have a right to be well. Because rights did not extend to consequences. You get pregnant, you don't have a right to an abortion. Amen. You have a right to have a kid. Yeah. Rights don't extend to consequences. Spend a lot of time in vanity, the consequence is going to be poverty. How do you know, Brother Mike? God said it.
Yeah.
Don't care what the Democrats say.
Amen.
Or the Republicans.
Amen.
That's what the books say. Thank you this morning, God, for your goodness and grace. Pray you'd help our folks. I pray you'd lead us and guide us. Help us just to have good sense. Help us to be contentious about the things we ought to be contentious about. And Lord, help us not to fall into bitterness, but help us to pray and earnestly contend for the faith, and help us, God, not to spend so much time on vanity. I know I've spent a lot of time on it. I know others have. I know others will, because man has the propensity for spending a lot of time on himself. But Lord, you said give, and it'd be given to us, so help us, God, to give of our lives and to look for the wealth or the betterment of others. The Bible said, let each esteem other better than himself. If we live according to that and work as we ought to, God, in all labor there is profit. You've promised us that. Help us, God, to serve others. Help us, oh God, to contend for that which is right. If it depends or if it concerns us or if it concerns others, help us, oh God, to contend for right. But Lord, help us most of all to contend for the gospel, which was once delivered to the saints. And I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, take a little break.